We've mentioned a number of times that there's lots of things we can do to serve our Lord within our family, within this church. And there's something that we can all do, and that is pray. Sometimes it's very easy to see the things that are physically done, and what we don't see is the power and the authority and the life-changing impact of people's prayers. You know, we're encouraged in Matthew 6 to be in a quiet place by ourselves so we can pray quietly, because it's not for show. It is for communion with God. Ollie, can you... Oh, hello. Change. Thank you. Surprise. Prayer. A conversation with the Almighty Creator God. And that's what I'd like us to do now. As a family, as children of God, let's just spend some time in prayer together. Sat mentioned last week that he likes us to sit into twos and threes and pray out loud. That's fine, I'm very happy with that. But some of you may just want to sit quietly and just be with God and have a conversation with the Lord God Almighty. And that is also good. I've often said, do not be afraid of the silence. The Spirit works in silence. Let's pray as his children, as a family. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity of worship, for the freedom to be amongst your family, meeting together in your house and in the warmth of your embrace. Thank you that in worship we can put aside the uncertainties of this world and rest upon the certainties of the kingdom. For your promises are not changeable, but immovable and eternal. Thank you that we can bring to your feet all the hurts and the fears that trouble us and leave them there, knowing that your strength and assurance are all that we require. Thank you that as we draw near in worship, we are transported to a place where we can be at peace in your presence, find healing, wholeness, and refreshment. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity of worship and prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, now hear our prayers, both spoken and silent, as we lift this world and our friends and family into your care and seek your blessing upon them. Lord, for the world situation, hear our prayer now as we bring before you the ongoing war in Ukraine and the Israeli-Gaza war. Lord, we pray that those who have influence can bring those wars to an end. Lord, hear also now our prayers for those that are displaced from their homes due to war or persecution and the perilous journeys they undertake to find safety and a new home. And we pray also for those that seek to help them. Lord, you're not just the God of the international incident, but you are the God of the individual, the God of the single person, our God. Lord, we pray now for those known to us that are unwell, recovering from illness, waiting for a doctor's appointment, or have some other concern in their life where we want to see your Spirit and authority move. Lord Jesus, we also pray for ourselves, for our equipping and strengthening by your Holy Spirit to undertake the work that you have for us to do here in Ely and the surrounds. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge the authority and the changing power of your grace and your love in our lives. Lord, we also lift up to you those that are dear to us who have yet to acknowledge your love. Heavenly Father, you are the God who formed us, the God who knows us, the God who loves us, the God who leads us, the God who feeds us, the God who blesses us, the beginning and the end of all that we are and hope to be and you are most worthy of our praise. What I'd like to do now is share the reading of Acts 6, 1 through 7 with you that Imad will shortly be talking to us on. So I'm reading from the NIV, it's the UK version, and it's titled The Choosing of the Seven. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we give our attention to the prayer and ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and the large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Amen. Imad, where are you, my friend? I'd like to invite you to come and share God's word, if I just may pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your written word. I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for the way you use it to instruct us, to teach us, to encourage us. I thank you that through reading your Holy Spirit makes it afresh to us. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that as Imad shares his thoughts on this passage and how it impacts us today in this family, that his words would be yours. It be your Holy Spirit that ministers to us. Your Holy Spirit that touches us and changes us through the words Imad shares. Lord, we pray your blessing upon him, and may your Spirit bless us as he shares. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Fantastic, that's better. Right, over a year ago, I think August last year, our amazing beekeeper, Graham, you remember that one? He shared amazing service about how the whole world of bees work. But I remember over the time when he shared, it was a slide he put up. And this slide he put up, it contains the whole entire service of our church, of our family. And this one is sticked here for a long time. And over the last few weeks, I was thinking about that passage, but I was thinking about every single member of our family here. And this is the conclusion I get in my head. Every single person sitting in this room, I can understand and recognize what role they do for the family. Every single person sitting here. And I can name it and I can say it. You might think my role is, hey, I'm getting old, I'm over whatever age, I'm taking the back seat and leave me alone. Right. I have some good news for you, and I said before, hey, there is no retirement in the kingdom of God. Shall I say that one more time? There is no retirement in the kingdom. Right. Why? If you feel like you are old, I just have some good news for you. Maybe you are the intercessor of the church, the church family need right now. Right, every single ship have an anchor. And put it this way, you are the anchor of the ship. By your prayer, by your standing firm before Jesus, because you are the one bringing stability to the ship. Is that a good enough role for you? Can you see it different? Therefore, I have a homework, as I do always for you. The homework is find someone in the phone diary prayer thing in our church this week. This is your homework this week. One person, phone or text, and say thank you for what you do for our family. Are we able to do this?
Yes.
Promise?
Yes.
You will do it, yes? I will ask you for it next week. Yes? Okay. Right. It's not just a Sunday talk. You are going to do it, yes? Right. Okay. Right. From young Joseph and Jacob sitting in the laptop here to the oldest in the church, everybody play a role. You can tell those young guys, thank you for what you're doing in the church. As you say to the older in the church, thank you for what you're doing in the church. You got a family, yes? Right. Every one of us do something in this family. There is nobody excluded. We are in all. Right. Two incidents on the Bible. One in Book of Acts 6. Problem? We need to sort it out. It's the food bank. Hey! Food bank problem. Therefore, we need to get a food bank crew to do the job. We have another food bank problem in the Book of Numbers around time of Moses. We need some meat. We miss it in Egypt, you know. And they complain and complain and complain. And Moses said, what are you doing? Why give me this, guys? I had enough. And God said, okay, give me 70 people and bring them in. And the church said, give me seven guys. It choose seven guys to get them in. 7 and 70, yeah? To do the same thing. To sort out the problem. To work it out. To organize the whole thing. I had enough listening to everybody. Get the 70 elders and they will help you. The ladies are complaining. There is no food. There is some issues there. Right, bring some seven guys to do the work. 7 and 70. But here is the difference between the 70 and the 7. Big difference. Right, here is a story in Numbers. Moses, bring the 70, bring them to the tent of meeting, and what I will do, I will take some of your spirit resting on you, and I will put it over the 70 to work with you. Like, imagine it now. Hey, Seth, I will take some of the spirit of you and give it to the elder of the church and the member of the church to be able to help you. This is a story in Numbers. The story in the New Testament, they describe them as different. They are filled by the Holy Spirit. It's a big difference. Good news, guys, is you are filled by the Holy Spirit. You have the fullness of Christ Jesus in you. I am not borrowing some from Douglas or from Graham for today, because I would like to borrow a little bit of anointing from him. No, I have the fullness of Christ Jesus sitting on me. And if is that not a new revelation for you, I don't know what is it. You have the fullness of Christ Jesus sit and resting and filling and fulfilling the whole of you. Therefore, the difference between the 70 and the 7, we are just borrowing a little bit of Moses' wisdom. But I have here the full wisdom of Christ Jesus. I have the spirit of wisdom. That makes sense? Here is that what the Bible explained and talk to you, how he described your character. We agreed all of us have a role to play in the church, yes? All of us. This is how the Bible describes you. Full of the Spirit. You have a good reputation. Very well respected because they brought the elder, they are known to the people. Meaning what? Respected, known, have wisdom, have an understanding, filled by the Spirit, full of wisdom, and full of faith. That is written about Stephen, a man of faith and filled by the Holy Spirit. Filled by faith and filled by the Holy Spirit. Two different things. He didn't say, filled by the Holy Spirit, and let us just put it a whole piece of work together. No. He said, it's filled by the Holy Spirit and filled by faith. There is two big things. I can explain this another time, another big, huge sermon for that one. What type of faith is God filling him with? We will talk about that one another time because it's big. But you are filled by the Spirit is a big thing. This is the characteristic God is saying about you and me now. It's not just for those sevens. Right. The book of Daniel 12:3 saying something very interesting about that people have wisdom. Or have some understanding. If you remember that word, and I would love you to remember it really well, very well, this verse, that the people are wise is like they are shining like a brightness, something in the, I have it in Arabic in my head. I don't have it in English in my head. Let me get it out. Fantastic. There we go. Can you hear it? Can you repeat it again one more time, Dawn?
Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever.
Therefore, when you are saying that you have a spirit of wisdom, what does that mean? You are hiding in your home, or you are shining out there? If you have that, the full understanding of Christ Jesus in you, what does that mean? You will shine. This is the characteristic of who you are in Christ Jesus. It's not the role you play. This is who you are. In order to get a person to work in food bank, this is the characteristic of that person. The person standing here welcoming people to come, this is the characteristic of that person. The person is doing the tea and coffee and welcoming people after the church finish. This is the characteristic of that person. It's not the one is preaching. It's all of us. This is how the Bible describes you. Get this in your spirit and in your heart. that this is how God see me. When he said, invite those guys, are very well known, very well respected, have the wisdom, full of the Spirit, what does that mean? They are shining, and they are giving. It doesn't matter what do you do. You put all the seats on Wednesday, because Sarah's day, we have the mom and toddlers, or you're coming. I don't know exactly what you play in the church role. But because you are in that framework, this is how the Bible describes you. It's not just me because I'm standing, look at me, I am preaching. Hey, I am good. No. It has nothing to do with that. Imagine if you are standing here and the Holy Spirit fill you with wisdom and discernment and understanding, and somebody walking in just have a very bad week. And you discern that and you said, stop, let's pray. Before he walk in to the presence, he's already offloaded because you recognize it and you work on it. You get it? What discernment, what spirit you have, what are you carrying? It does work for the body of Christ. But again, let's work for two more points and I will close. Something interesting happened. Back to the book of Numbers. Said, bring the 70 to me. 68 turn up and 2 didn't turn up. And when they come to the tent of meeting, the Holy Spirit came upon them and rested, and they start prophesying. Whoa! Hey, you are coming just to give some ideas and wisdom and help in the church. What are you prophesying for? Doesn't make any sense. I ask you to come and work for the food bank, not to prophesy. But when you have the Spirit of God, actually you do. But hang on here. The other two out in the camp, the Spirit of God rests on them in their home when they decide to become lazy and not to turn up. And they start prophesying too. Whoa. It means it's not just in this lovely circumstances I can prophesy. I can do that out there. Your prophecy doesn't stay in a prayer meeting. Otherwise, it would be a problem. Your prayer, your witness, your shining, it's out there. You don't believe me, yes? Let's look back to Stephen in the New Testament. What verse 8 said? We didn't jump to verse 8. We stopped up to verse 7. Can we read the verse 8, please, Dawn or Douglas?
Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people.
Okay. A food bank guy, he performed miracles. A food bank guy who preached the most famous preach in chapter 7 is even better than Peter himself. The big guy. The food bank guy, he saw the heaven opened. What did I tell you? Leave me alone. I just manage the food and the church. And leave me alone. I serve the tea, that's enough for me. I just turn up on Wednesday and put the seats together. That is absolutely great. Nothing else. No. This is not how God sees you. How God sees you is what he described you. How God sees you, you are in the fullness of him. You are in Christ Jesus, a total different person. You are in Christ Jesus, you are able to help this family and beyond. You are in Christ Jesus, you are able to reach out to people with you. You are in Christ Jesus, you are filled by the Spirit to shine, prophesy, speak to people with word of wisdom and discernment. This is who you are in Christ Jesus. This is who you are. When Dom prayed the last prayer, it wasn't a prayer, it was a prophecy over us. Did you receive it? Or it was just part of the worship? And let's just, okay, we finished that part, let's move to another one. Everything is said here in the song. Did you receive it in your spirit? Or just I'm opening my mouth and going, blah, blah. It's lovely, nice, have a good voice. It's not the idea. What I'm talking about, that course of God is so good, and the whole thing, the whole list of why he is so good, did you receive it in your spirit today? Did you get it in? Are you willing for it to shine? Every member ministry, this is what we are writing in the back. Every member who is in Christ Jesus, it's not just a ministry, this is a lifestyle. It's your lifestyle. I walk to my work and I don't know what I'm going to do. But I said, I won't walk, and Jesus is walking with me. I won't bring Jesus to the situation today. It's tough. Yes, I know that. But shall I bring him with me? Shall we walk together to this place?